Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No more mocks. This is a real deal. Want to talk about the draft? Call, text, or tweet us. Now, NFL Draft Central with your hosts, John Murphy and Steve Tasker on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Presented by Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys, and brought to you by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case.
Punching the clock. We're putting in some overtime here. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. We hope and expect to hear from Ed Oliver from Nashville coming up in the next 15 minutes or so. So stick around for that. We're going to hear from you as well. We got phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. And you can tweet in your thoughts, too, about Ed Oliver. The ninth overall pick goes to the Buffalo Bills. Favorite tweet of the day. Well, first, let's go to Nashville. Baltimore Ravens selected 25.
In the 2019 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Marquise Brown.
There it is.
There we go.
Wide receiver, Oklahoma.
First receiver off the board, Marquise Brown, a Hollywood Brown from Oklahoma. And he goes to the Baltimore Ravens. First receiver off the board right there. And it comes at the 25th selection in the first round. All right, so here's what we got so far, Steve. 25 picks, 13 on defense, 12 on offense. Three Alabama players in the first 25. Nine defensive linemen in the first 25. That shows you where the strength of this draft was.
Yeah, and the Bills got a good one, and it's amazing because it shows you that all these teams see this draft kind of the same way. You know, they see where the talent is, and they grab it while they can. You can't tell me all of those teams. And I know some of these. Everybody needs a good defensive line and all that, but all of these teams probably couldn't have been a glaring need for all of them, but they all got one. And it should tell you just what you said, Murph. This is where the strength of this draft was. We talked about it for weeks leading up to this, and it's been proven right before our eyes. And I'm surprised, though, Marquise Brown's not that he's the first one off the board, but it took till 25 picks to get a wide receiver in the NFL that's a throwing league.
We're 15 picks away from Buffalo's next pick as it stands right now anyway. Maybe they make a move up here. That's, to be honest with you, that's why we're staying on the air right now. But there are good receivers remaining. Marquise Brown, the first to go. Obviously, DK Metcalf is still out there. Several others as well. Good receivers still on the board. It's my favorite tweet of the night so far, Steve, from Billy Bills fan. You ready?
Okay. No, it's a good one. Let's hear it.
Billy Bills fan, my day today. Had my tweet read on One Bills Live. Super cool for me. Go. Found out we were pregnant with our second child. And Ed Oliver fell to the Bills without having to move up to get him. All in all, that's a pretty damn good day. Billy Bills fan, congratulations. I love that. Right? He'll always remember that day. He had his tweet read on our show. Big deal. We read him a lot of them. But that's cool. I'm glad that you appreciated that. Pregnant with your second child, and Ed Oliver has been delivered. The Stork has delivered Ed Oliver to the Bills on draft day. That's a pretty good day. Good for you, Billy Bills fan.
Yeah, you can name your second child Murph.
A couple of calls here as we discuss this. Ed Oliver, first overall pick for the Bills, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. All the way from Virginia, Paul is on the line. Paul, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, Murph, Steve, thanks for taking me on. It's good to hear to listen to you guys tonight.
You bet.
Thank you.
I was I hopped on and was hearing some comments about the questioning the pick and how we need to have help for Josh Allen and all that. It seems to neglect the idea or what Bean and McDermott have done in the off season with free agency. I think they've done a fantastic job in spending money prudently to get players around Josh Allen, offensive line. I mean the center, Morse to pick up, the offensive lineman, the offensive talent in the wide receiver spot, put themselves in a position where they could turn around and draft this player, Oliver, who's just he could change things. I think Bills fans, I've been a Bills fan for 30 years, forget what it's like to have a dominant defensive presence on the line like that.
Yeah,
and you know if he can perform as expected, as hoped. It could be a game changer with Milano and with Edmonds. It's a good place to be. So I'm excited about the pick. And we've got 9 more picks, guys. Hey,
yeah. We're going to get some more good players, and certainly it's the centerpiece so far is Ed Oliver. You're right, and it's a good way to look at it, Paul. I mean, this is a guy whose upside is even above where the Bills picked him in the top 10 of the NFL draft. We had the Houston Chronicle writer Joseph Duarte on. When Ed Oliver had an injury that kind of took him off the field for a while and kind of derailed him a little bit. When he was healthy, there were people in his sophomore or junior year, was it, Murph? One of those 2 years when he first started to kind of come on, people were saying, Len, this is a guy that's going to be the top player picked. He was that dominant as a young player in college. And so when he's on, when he's healthy and playing, he is extremely productive. And that's where the Bills are, and that's why the Bills picked him.
Yep.
And that's the upside of him. Even a guy that picked that high has a huge upside, even along with the production he put on the field.
Big upside, and we finally got him on the line. Happy to take the phone call now from Nashville, Tennessee, the site of the NFL draft and Buffalo Bills first-round draft pick. Ed Oliver joins us on the line. Ed, congratulations. John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo right at One Bills Drive. Congratulations, my man. Welcome to the Bills.
Appreciate it. I'm excited to be here. Excited to get to work.
How have they given you an idea of when you're going to get to Buffalo? Are you coming in right tonight, or are you going to wait till tomorrow?
I'll be there bright and early in the morning.
Tell us about your experience in the green room. You must have been sitting there, and your phone rang. You knew you were going to be called early in this draft. What did it feel like?
Just watching the other picks go by, it just seemed like an eternity. But I knew if I was there when the Bills got there to pick, they weren't going to pass on me.
How'd you know that, Ed?
Just the relationship I built, and I trust them.
Yeah. It seems like you were asked yesterday, and you gave a glowing report about your visit to Buffalo. Tell us about how that went. It must have been a really good visit. You must have really felt something click when you were in the building here in Buffalo.
Well, it was my last visit. So
yeah, was it last week?
Being my last visit, it left an impression on me.
That was last week, Ed? Were you here last week? Right, the last of the visits I think anyone had, right?
The 17th.
Yeah, it was last week. What did you like about this place? What impressed you about Buffalo?
Man, the guys around the facilities, the coaches, the actual facilities itself. Man, I just can't wait to get there.
Ed, you were at Houston University. You were really productive, particularly early in your career. Then you got a little bit derailed by the injury. Tell us about that process and how you had to kind of hang in there and jump back onto the field, and how long it took you to feel 100% again.
Getting injured is depressing, and nobody wants to be injured. But it's a part of the process, and it's a part of the game. So you just got to take it day by day, and you'll be ready when you're ready.
When you were here, Ed, I assume you met with, Coach Frazier maybe, and certainly you met with the defensive line coaches. What were your impressions of them, and what were they talking to you about?
Just talking about how they'll use me and talking about what they expect from me coming in.
And what did they tell you? How are they going to use you?
Three-technique penetrator, which is pretty much so how multiple teams wanted to use me. So I'm just so happy that the way they wanted to use me fit me the best.
Well, Ed, that seems right in your wheelhouse. We've been watching the highlights of you, and that's your forte, right? Getting in, being a quick, aggressive, penetrating type defensive tackle, correct?
Yes, sir.
With Ed Oliver, just a minute or two left with the Bills' first-round draft pick. What's been going on since the pick was made? What was it, about 9:15, 9:20? What have you been doing down there for an hour or two, Ed?
Man, I've been talking to everybody. You about the 30th person I talked to, and I'm excited to do it.
I'm sorry to hear that. I thought we should be number one, but that's okay. Hey, Ed, we're going to let you go. You sound busy. We'll get a chance maybe to talk to you tomorrow when you come here to Buffalo. Have a safe trip. We're really looking forward to having you here. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
Ed Oliver, the noise, the excitement, you can see it. You can hear it, obviously, right?
Oh, it's got to be crazy. You can tell even by the people are watching on MSG. they tuck him off into a sign of a quiet spot. He's in the dark almost talking to us with one earpiece in, trying to make it happen. Everything's going on down there. And Ed, let's face it, we're at this point when we make this, at this point of the evening, it was we're at the 25th pick. So there's 25 guys with him that are trying to do the same thing with their team. Everybody's trying to get an interview in. They're trying to PR people. There's people in Nashville they want to talk to. All kinds of stuff going on. And so it's nice that Ed took a couple of minutes and we got our chance to have our people corral him and push him into a small corner to get a chance to talk to us for a minute.
We got a pickup, 26th selection. The Redskins have it. Trade with the Colts. Here's Commissioner Goodell.
The Colts have traded the 26th pick to the Washington Redskins. And with the 26th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins select Montez Sweat, linebacker, Mississippi State.
Good one. Montez Sweat goes to Washington. They moved up in a trade with Indianapolis to get Montez Sweat. They call him a linebacker. He's sort of on the line of scrimmage, plays there anyway. The 26th pick of this first round. Yep, 26th pick of the first round. And that's 14 defensive players, 12 on offense so far. Montez Sweat, I've been talking about him since the Senior Bowl. I remember the first live hit I did from Mobile, I was talking about Montez Sweat. That's the impression he made. The impression I got from him, a lot of it came from his work against the 23rd pick tonight, the Houston Texans offensive lineman Titus Howard from Alabama State. I'm telling you, he tore him up in the one-on-one pass blocking drills. No, it was Montez Sweat owned him. And I'm happy to see Titus Howard and the Bills scouts down there and coaches told me, don't overlook Titus Howard. Well, Houston didn't. They got him at 23. But Montez Sweat, who we figured the Bills would have some interest in, I think they did. But he goes late in this first round to Washington with a 26th pick overall. Going back to our gang of eight, Steve, who's left on our gang of eight?
Oh, that's a good call. I didn't even think about that.
One guy. One wide receiver. You know who it is.
DK Metcalf.
Yep, still out there.
That was your guy.
That was my guy. Still out there. We'll see. Now the Bills. So what do we got left here? That was pick number 26.
26.
We've got 6 picks left tonight.
Dallas has this pick who they traded from Oakland. They got it in the
Oakland has the pick.
I'm sorry. Oakland has the pick they got from Dallas for the Amari Cooper trade.
Yep. 6 picks here. Bills are 8 tomorrow. One wide receiver gone so far if you're keeping score at home. Give us a call. What do you think? You just heard Ed Oliver. You might have liked what you heard. You may have liked what you've seen on video. Got a few minutes to talk about it. We're going to babysit this bad boy until the end of the first round here because we got 6 picks left. That hopefully we get out of here in the next half hour and right back at it tomorrow at 10 a.m. A phone call here. Let's go to Sean calling from Miami. Hello, Sean. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Doing great. Go ahead.
In my opinion, it was the best case scenario what the Bills needed to do.
Tell me why.
They were. Well, they stayed where they were. They didn't have to trade up and lose at least a second rounder to go up with the Jets or someone and then get Ed Oliver there. And Ed Oliver is one of those guys who, if you've watched any mock drafts, if you look into the future for next year or the year after his mock draft, he's always a top 5 pick. And to get him at 9 and not lose anything is brilliant. And this was the one position the Bills didn't really address in the offseason. I mean, you may not love Tyler Croft, but he's an NFL tight end. So they addressed the tight end. They addressed the O-line, the center. This was the one thing they really needed, and they got it just by standing pat.
And you make all good points there, as a matter of fact, Sean. And it was an area of need, right? We read the list. They had Jordan Phillips at interior defensive line and Harrison Phillips. Harrison in his second year, Jordan Phillips, kind of a cast-off from the Dolphins that came out in midseason last year. And you got a player who's not just a guy, I don't think, in Ed Oliver. You got a guy, you heard him talk about the way he plays, a quick, penetrating, defensive, three-technique defensive tackle. He's going to be a handful for Bills opponents, I believe. He really is.
Yeah, you're going to have to get a guy. You got a guy that plays on the offensive side of the line of scrimmage. They're going to have a handful. They've got to stop him from getting into their backfield, and that's really disruptive on every down. And that's what this guy does so well, and that's what the Bills, they grabbed him for. They talked to him. And the thing about it, and this plays really well in this town for this team, he wants to be here and he's excited about being here. He loves it. He's looking forward to it. And that's a huge plus. There's no doubt that the Bills put their best foot forward, brought him in, and acclimated him pretty quickly and gave him all the information that he wanted to hear from them and from the word go. Even yesterday, before it was even on the horizon that he would be around when the Bills picked, he was very complimentary of his visit in Buffalo. It was the last one he took. He just told us that on the air. And they left a great impression on him, and he felt like he left a great impression on the Bills, and it's obvious that he's right.
He talked about, in the comments he made yesterday, they did a looked like a put-together news conference yesterday down at the stadium in Nashville. But he talked about specifically the brand-new Player Performance Center. Yep. That place leaves an impression. I'd be interested in hearing from we can do this tomorrow, hearing from people who were here tonight, a lot of premium seat holders for the draft party. There were like 2,500, 2,000 folks.
There's a ton of people.
There are a lot of people here. They're gone now. but I'd be interested to hear their impressions. They were doing tours of the new weight room, the Player Performance Center.
Yep.
Made an impression on the draft pick on Ed Oliver, and I'm sure it made an impression. Look, that's not going to clinch a deal for you, but it certainly is something that would get your attention when you see a brand new room like that. Raiders on the clock. They're ready to pick at 27 here in the first round. Let's go to Nashville.
With the 27th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select Jonathan Abram, defensive back, Mississippi State.
I believe that's the first defensive back chosen, right?
No, Jonathan? There's a safety, Darnell Savage.
Right. Yeah. Is Abram a corner or a safety? Not sure. I'll look it up.
I got you.
Jonathan right Abram goes to the Raiders. He's a safety, so still no corner selected. Jonathan Abram, 6 foot, 205-pounder, comes to the Oakland Raiders from Mississippi State. Are the Raiders finished yet? Yeah, that was their third pick, the Raiders' third pick of the night. I don't know about this Raiders draft, and I don't care about the Raiders, but just to recap, the Raiders shocked a lot of people with the fourth overall selection and chose defensive end Cleveland Farrell from Clemson. Then all the way down at the 24th pick a moment ago, they got running back Josh Jacobs from Alabama. And now Oakland chooses a defensive back, safety Jonathan Abram from Mississippi State. All right, Mike Mayock, let's see what you got, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's
just not big name guys. I guess that's my point.
No, I mean, they're trying to build a team just like you're trying to build one here in Buffalo, and you've got a new regime that's trying to do it. Second-year head coach in the second year he's been in Oakland as head coach John Gruden. And they just – think about this. Mike Mayock was hired December 31st, so he had some catching up to do. And this is also the crew that – and for good reason, I guess, you know, they took – as you said, they took Cleveland Farrell, defensive end, which was a surprise. And that's probably the guy that they sent their scouts home last week so that that word would not get out that Cleveland Farrell was the guy they wanted.
I don't know why I'm laughing. If you're the rest of the NFL, you're saying that's the one you're hiding from?
That's the hide. They could have gotten him. It seems like they might have gotten him all the way down at the 24th pick when they took Josh Jacobs, the running back. I don't know. Whatever. So there you go. Jonathan Abram, second defensive back off the board. He's the second safety as well. Darnell Savage went earlier in this draft to Seattle. Seattle's bolstering their secondary that's been ravaged by free agency and the aging Legion of Boom that, you know, is dissolved now. Now they're trying to get guys back in there to pick up that slack, Seattle.
There are five picks left in this first round, and the Bills pick eight selections into the second round. Do they make a move up? Do they try to do something? They're within striking distance now, right? And among the available players to them right now includes DK Metcalf, the Mississippi wide receiver, Deebo Samuel, the wide receiver from South Carolina, who I know they like a lot. A.J. Brown from Mississippi is still available to them. And N'Keal Harry from Arizona State still available to them. Possible guys, maybe some of those last till the second round, maybe not. And I'm sure that's kind of the calculation going on right now in the Buffalo Bills meeting room. They're still at work over there, still at work up there, trying to figure out where to go with where they're at. And they can wait till tomorrow. They can wait eight picks into the second round tomorrow night, Friday night. Or they can make a move up. It might not take much to move up at this point.
And they might. They might. The Chargers are on the clock now, followed by Kansas City, Green Bay, who got that pick in a trade from New Orleans, and then the Rams and, of course, New England. So just five picks left. And we're still waiting, and now the Chargers are on the clock making their first pick in this draft with 5 minutes left on the clock. So still a little work to be done tonight. We'll have to wait and see. And we'll stay till the bitter end because we've been surprised by Brandon Bean before.
Yeah.
And right? I mean, there's been a lot of moves here. There's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different teams that are picking different plays. Now, some of these trades happened, you know, last year in trades and stuff like that. But a couple of them, most notably the Pittsburgh trade, moving up from 20 into slot number 10 with Denver and picking Devin Bush, the inside linebacker out of Michigan. So that was really the big one of this this round. And then, of course, then Denver reciprocating, picking at number 20. And then Baltimore and Philly flipping picks at the 22nd pick and the 25th pick. So Philly picking at 22 and Baltimore flipping back to 25. And then we just saw Washington move up from for whatever, I don't know what they gave up to get there, but they moved up with Indianapolis to get the 26th pick of the first round, and they took Montez Sweat.
Let's take a phone call here. Joe in Amherst with a thought on Ed Oliver. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the air.
Oh, you mean Jim?
Yes, okay. We do.
It says Joe, but I'll go with Jim. Go ahead.
I'm just a little concerned about who Houston played. I mean, the conference kind of a smaller offensive lineman. You know, not exactly the SEC or the Big Ten. I know he's a penetrating type of guy, but who is he penetrating against?
Yeah, it's a legitimate point. I thought about that too, you know, and unfortunately, and I will say this is unfortunate, in college sports, both football and basketball, we are so locked into the Power Five conferences now, right? It's like no one else matters. Well, that's not necessarily the case when you, I don't think, when you take individual guys off some of these rosters, like this guy, like Ed Oliver. Yeah, but it's a legitimate question. Who did they play? I'll give you their schedule in a moment, but Steve, it's a legitimate question.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's always a question. It was a question with Josh Allen when he came out of Wyoming last year. It's a question with any player that doesn't come out of Alabama, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, you know, University of Miami, the Pac-12 with USC, UCLA, Michigan, Notre Dame, the Big Ten. It's a question for all of those guys that come out of lesser conferences. But there have been, of course, a ton of good players that come from very small colleges or from lesser colleges, from the MAC even. So it's, yeah, there is a question for that. But believe me, it's been a question that's been asked since the beginning of football. And the scouts and the evaluators who watch these guys know how to calculate for that. They have, you know, they have ways of evaluating how dominant a guy is at lower levels. They know what they're looking at.
Houston went 8-5 last year. They lost their bowl game. They played Army in the Armed Forces Bowl and lost that one 70-14. Ooh. So 8-4 in the regular season. They played in the American Conference, non-conference opponents. They beat Rice in Arizona. Did they beat Arizona? Yeah, they beat Arizona. I'm sorry, what?
Not exactly powerhouses.
Well, can I finish? They beat Texas Southern, and then and they lost to Texas Tech. And then in the conference, they beat Tulsa, East Carolina. They beat Navy and South Florida and Tulane, lost to SMU, lost to Temple, and lost to Memphis. They finished poorly, lost 4 of their last 5. And that's why the coach was fired. Major Applewhite was fired. But to your point, you have a point, is what I'm trying to say, Jim. You have a point. They are not a Power 5 conference, and that'll be a question that will be asked and evaluated. I believe two things. When individual players can rise up from a conference, I mean, this is a guy who the writer from Houston said was considered a possible number one overall pick. Playing in that conference going into last year, he was that good and considered that dominant. And you know, that's not a bad conference, the American Conference. It's not one of the Power Five, but it's not a bad conference. But it's a legitimate point.
And it's like I said a minute ago, these guys evaluate players from lesser conferences constantly, mm-hmm. and they know that that is a factor in their evaluation. So if they make it to the top of the evaluation, in whatever way they do, it's because the scouts know what they're looking at. So we're going to take a break.
No, we're going to get the Chargers pick.
Jerry Tillery.
That's what I mean.
Defensive tackle, Notre Dame.
Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame goes to the Los Angeles Chargers with that pick. It is number 28 overall. Jerry Tillery, defensive tackle, another DT. I'm adding him up again when we get to the break. He goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. Four picks left here in the first round. Do the Bills make a move to get up there? We're going to stick around and find out. You can continue to call us, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy with Steve Tasker, One Bills Live, draft coverage from One Buffalo Studio in Orchard Park. Welcome back, John Murphy and Steve Tasker. Putting in the long day today. We had the show. What was the name of that show we did at noon today? Bills Live?
Yeah, Corn Pills Live.
And then we came back and we're on the air from 8 tonight. We're going to go for most of the remaining minutes of this hour as we wait for the first round to end. We asked for the lights to be dimmed, and they were shut
they
off.
Just shut off.
And now they're all the way back up. Yeah, it's been a long day,
it's
not
been
just
a long
for us.
Day. Everybody, we're struggling here.
We're operating in the dark.
Seattle's on the clock, 1 minute to go. They're at the pick, 29th pick of the first round. They traded just now with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs were supposed to pick 29th. They traded with Seattle. Yeah, we're just waiting on these guys. They were 43 seconds. How many? Don't they have these pick in? Come on.
Come on now. Don't get
they
impatient.
Want to trade for, they must have had a guy. They want to get back in the first round. They already made one pick of Darnell Savage, the safety from Maryland, at the 21 pick. Now that we're at the 29 pick, and the pick will be in just a few seconds. So as this rolls out, we're staying on the air because we just don't know if the Bills are going to trade back into this round or not.
They got to be tempted to. Right?
I think they do.
They got to be.
I think
tempted.
They do. There's been there's if you're talking about offensive tackles, which I don't know, maybe they are, maybe they're not. But Jawan Taylor is still there.
Yep.
Andre Dillard is gone. Dalton Risner is still there. Caleb McGarry is still there.
Yeah, the offensive linemen don't intrigue me as much as the wide receiver still available. And, yes, I'm talking about DK Metcalf is still available. A.J. Brown is still – there's only been one receiver chosen in the first 28
Nikhil
picks.
N'Keal Harry's still there. Hakeem Butler, Paris Campbell, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Now you're into second-round territory.
Debo
but I
Samuel,
hear.
All these guys. I mean, yeah, there's going to be a run on them. There's no question. And when you and if these teams are starting to target these guys, you know if somebody takes – well, they took Marquise Brown, and that didn't trigger a run – but DK Metcalf is a second round or just at the end of the first round pick. That's right where he's supposed to be, and that's where we are.
I wonder what the Bills think about him. I don't know. They're not very forthcoming about their opinions on draft picks, even when you're in position to talk about it. But I wonder if they think this is a potential. This is a third rounder Metcalf, or if they think, look where we are. We're down to 29. We're at the tail end of the first round, and DK Metcalf is there. I won't be crushed if they don't pick him. But man, there's four picks left here in the first round.
I'm looking at the Draft Network website. They've got DK Metcalf as number 6 of the top 100.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – and he's still there. He's still sitting there.
Ed Oliver was their first pick, came in the ninth selection. We should address this, and we're going to get to more phone calls. We got time now. If you want to ring in and give us your opinion, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The flurry of speculation that started around, 4 or 4:30 this afternoon about the Bills possibly moving up to 3 where the Jets are in an effort to get Quinnen Williams – didn't seem right to me, and I know that they were asked about it. Maybe we'll hear them a little bit later on, their replay of the news conference, Bean and McDermott. But look, what's the motivation for the Jets to make that trade and give a division rival who you're pretty close with, give a division rival a guy who is considered one of the top players in this draft? And oh, by the way, the guy that you wanted too. The Jets got Quinnen Williams with the 3rd overall pick. That never made a lot of sense to me. I think that thing got out of control between 4:30 and, say, 7:30 tonight, Steve.
Well, everybody was on such pins and needles, and we've been talking about everything and so much. And if word got out that there was any kind of conversation at all, it was reported. And if you report it, it sounds bigger than it was. Even if it was just say, hey, what's it going to take for us to do that? And if the price was too high, say, okay, thanks, we're probably not interested in that deal, thanks, and it hang up. And then if you report the conversation, it makes it sound like it's imminent rather than no way, which it is. So whether it was imminent or whether it was never any possibility of it happening, we'll never know. But it was reported, and that's made it sound like it was a plausible option. And it may never have been. It's one of those things, Murph, and I keep saying it. We knew part of half the story.
Yeah, and Bean's answer, and we're going to hear it, I think, in a minute or two, was, look, we never even got on compensation. We never even – we talked to the Jets, never got on compensation. I think a lot of that was a non-story. And, again, in the fever pitch that becomes draft day, and people are desperate to have something to talk about, that carried some people through 4:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Yeah. I thought about it. I thought about it hard. But it just didn't make a lot of sense to me then. And in retrospect, it makes even less sense, I think.
Yeah, and it was it's becoming now. You're right. It becoming now, they never got to compensation, which means, hey, what about it? They said no. I said, okay, thanks. Yeah. And that was the conversation that was reported.
And the Jets chose the guy that the Bills are interested in.
Yeah, the Jets chose the guy.
So what that trade would have been was, Jets, make a trade. Make a trade with your bitter division rivals, because we want to get the guy that you like too.
You're the Jets GM, and I'm Brandon Bean. I'm saying, hey, listen. We want to trade up to number three. We like our guy. If our guy's there, we want to take him. And they say, well, who's your guy? We're thinking about taking Quinnen Williams. They go, well, we're taking Quinnen Williams. Okay, thanks. That's it.
Right?
That's the conversation. And now everybody spends the next 3 hours saying, oh, my gosh, it may happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was no chance.
Not cool. Well, the 29th pick is coming up. Seattle has that pick. It'll be followed by let me make sure I have this right. It'll be Seattle again, and then the Rams, and then New England. The 29th pick, Seattle with two, the Rams, and then the Patriots at end of this round.
I've got the 30th pick is Green Bay from New Orleans.
Nope, it's Seattle now.
Oh, is it?
There was a trade, yeah, and it's hard to keep track of. You may have been preoccupied.
I might have.
Let's take a phone call. Ed Oliver was Buffalo's pick. It came way back of almost 3 hours ago. Let's talk to Chuck in Orchard Park. Hello, Chuck. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate the airtime, gentlemen. I know you got to be on your, 10th cup of coffee right about now?
No, I stopped drinking at 8, so.
for me, I look at the lineage of Sean McDermott and where he comes from, you know, Andy Reid, I read a stat earlier, you know, more specifically about him and Dorsey, the GM he's with right now, since I think it was like the late 90s, Andy Reid has used the first round to select an offensive or defensive lineman 18 times. And that, to me, when I read that, I mean, if it wasn't Quinnen Williams, it had to have been Ed Oliver, and just kind of, you know, what they did in the offseason and what holes were remaining. I was thrilled with the pick. I thought it was a steal. And I'm sure they probably got, things probably got a little wonky when the Giants selected Jones. Yeah. With their pick, and that kind of threw things off a little bit. Oliver just seemed to have fallen there, and it just seemed too good to pass up. Regardless of whatever the rotation is that McDermott uses on the defensive line, even if this guy is playing 50% of the snaps, he's going to be fresh. He's going to be a disruptive force. You just can't argue with this pick in any way, shape, or form. It seemed like a safe bet, regardless of how sexy Metcalf or whatever would have been at 9, and I appreciate them for sticking to their guns.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Chuck, and I get it. And here's the thing, too. We've all seen this process happen from 2 years ago when Sean McDermott came in, helped him through that last draft with Doug Whaley. Then after that, then they made the move over to Brandon Bean, and they started to get their financial house in order, started to move towards this process of leadership and accountability and doing everything the right way for the right reason, staying on the plan, never getting sidetracked. And now at this point, 2 years later, in the third draft with Sean McDermott and the second one with Brandon Bean, it's getting to the point where we don't have arguments with our GM like the Giants are having with theirs today. You know, we're not the Oakland Raiders who are picking who? Clelin Ferrell at number 4. What are you doing? We don't have those conversations anymore. We're not trading 3 number ones for a wide receiver. We're not doing the stuff that has happened to other teams that we've been a victim of and a part of through these 15, 20 years, these last stretch of history. Now it seems like we're the ones that are making the good sense decisions and getting good players a result, and hopefully, and now the hard part comes. You got to win games.
Yep.
That's, you've done a lot of things for the right reasons. You've got your financial house in order. You've started to build around some really quality young players. Now you got to win games. You got to win games.
Yep. Speaking of lineage, thanks for your call, Chuck. You talked about Sean McDermott's lineage. His father, not his football lineage, but his father, former high school football coach Rich, is here tonight. I saw him when they went to the media room for the news conference. Roger Goodell at the podium for the Seattle Seahawks pick.
In the 2019 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select L.J. Collier, defensive end, TCU.
Wow, that's 10 defensive linemen in the first 29 picks. L.J. Collier, defensive end from Texas Christian, is the Seattle Seahawks pick. Seattle's on the clock again as we move into the final three picks of this first round. So Seattle gets L.J. Collier, defensive end from TCU. We talked about the news conference from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. They met with the media about, an hour and a half ago over in the media room. Let's listen to some of the highlights of that. It starts with Brandon Bean, and he was asked the question, did he find what he was looking for when he saw Ed Oliver up on the draft board?
Stack your board, and you're also doing, odds and ends as far as trying to figure out how the board's going to fall. And we liked where we were at nine. You don't truly know how it's going to fall. There's a lot of smoke about how many quarterbacks are going to go or not going to go. But we felt if a couple quarterbacks went, we were hoping for as many as three just to make it safe, that we'd get a player that we felt was definitely worthy of nine, and that's what we think we did.
Brandon, what is it about Ed Oliver that stands out? People do knock him a little bit for his size and length, but what is it to you that you saw that stands out about Ed?
Ed is first of all, he's a competitor. He's tough. He plays from the snap to the echo of the whistle. He fits Buffalo, how we do things. They used him in Houston a little different than we'll use him. He played a lot, the zero right over the nose. For us, I think Sean will slot him in as a three tech in our defense, which is a very important piece for what we're doing. You guys know we lost Kyle, and so we were not able to answer that in free agency. So I think, this fell pretty good for us.
Sean, as you sat and watched free agency and how everything developed there and all the offensive players added, when Ed Oliver's sitting there at number nine, how excited did you get thinking, all right, this is – a guy I can use in my defense to just really manipulate things up front?
Right. Well, as Brandon mentioned, Josh, it's a key part of our defense. And so no different in where we came from and how we built that defense and the way we're building our defense now. And I'll say this, no one's going to ever replace Kyle Williams, so I just want to manage expectations, number one, with that. Ed Oliver is going to come in and, number one, earn everything that he gets. That's how we do things here. You guys know that. No different in this case. He's a good player that plays hard, brings his lunch pail, and he's a guy that fits the way we play on the field. So we were obviously excited. You never know how it's going to fall. And sitting at nine, we felt like we're in a pretty good spot where we could get a good player one way or the other. So we feel good about the pick, and I'll give credit where credit's due to Brandon and his staff and the due diligence they put into the situation.
John, could you speak more to maybe his skill set and maybe some of the versatility he brings to the
team? Yeah, I mean, and Brandon alluded to the fact that he was used a little bit differently in college than probably how we'll use him here in our system. He was more lateral, I would say, to be simple about it. In college, here we play a penetrating attack-style defense, playing really on the other side of the line of scrimmage as opposed to staying along the line of scrimmage or moving laterally. So we're a penetration attack style defense, and we'll use him in that area, in that regard. So the thing about Ed that stands out first and foremost is how quick he is at the line of scrimmage. And they stunted him a lot at Houston. And so we're excited to see him in our system and integrate him into what we do and integrate him into the guys we already have in that room.
Head coach Sean McDermott, along with his general manager, Brandon Bean, speaking earlier tonight about Buffalo's first draft pick tonight, first-round draft pick Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle from Houston. Two picks left in this first round. The Giants just chose another player. They got cornerback DeAndre Baker from University of Georgia, first true cornerback chosen. Atlanta is up next at pick 31, and then I believe we end with New England. So many trades on this final third of the first round, hard to keep track of who's on the clock. But Atlanta is in. We'll get that pick when we return. Come on back. It is the One Bills Live draft coverage from our One Buffalo studio in Orchard Park. All right, we're down to the last couple of minutes here of the show, last couple of minutes of the first round. 2:52 left on the clock for the New England Patriots. Can't imagine the Bills can pull off a deal with New England here, right? This is why we stayed on this late to see if the Bills would make a move, but there's less than 2:45 to do it now.
Yeah, the longer this goes, the more less likely that it is that the Arizona Cardinals are going to be able to trade Josh Rosen
for a one in this draft.
not going to happen.
Right?
Yeah. So one pick left to go. I was looking at the, you know, it's been a really heavy draft for defensive linemen. The pick we just had a minute ago was an offensive lineman. Caleb McGarry went to Atlanta, the Washington offensive tackle. The Bills with two picks tomorrow, one in the second, one in the third. Steve and I will be on the air tomorrow to talk about that from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m., yeah. And then we'll let the boys at WGR handle the nighttime action. The draft starts at 7 tomorrow. Don't forget, 7 o'clock. Round two begins. One pick left here. And if you missed it earlier, the Bills, I think, filled a need, right? I do, Steve. Ed Oliver, yeah. Really good player, rated very highly on most boards, and can immediately step in and start for this Buffalo defense.
And I know it's cliche and trite to say, but the player they needed was, I think, one of the, if not the best player on the board left, one of the best players on the board. He was yeah. He's a really, really top-notch player. And the Bills got him at the spot where they were looking for.
Interesting question. We have great crew, our weekday crew, One Bills Live crew. J.J. Tirito just asked me this question. So at 7, Jacksonville chose Josh Allen. That was two picks before the Bills chose Ed Oliver. Would the Bills have been tempted to take Josh Allen at 7 if he had not been chosen there, if he was still available at 9?
Yeah, of course.
They would have thought about it.
Yeah, he was a really highly rated too. It was Josh Allen, Nick Bosa, it was Quinnen Williams, and Ed Oliver. And there was 13 defensive tackles and defensive ends taken in the top draft in this draft.
First round.
Regardless of what New England picks right here, there could be 14.
That's a third of the draft. So for the third of the first round, defensive lineman, right?
Right.
It's amazing. I've never seen anything like that. But it went. It worked for the Bills with all of that, thanks to, I think, two moves. One was a surprise by the Raiders, who got the Cleveland Farrell, defensive end from Clemson, with the fourth pick. I didn't see that one coming. I don't think anybody saw the Giants at 6 taking quarterback Daniel Jones of Duke. The Giants wind up with three picks in the first round. I think they could have got him in any of those picks. Last pick of the first round, Patriots on the clock. Here's the commissioner.
2019 NFL Draft. The New England Patriots select N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State.
Well, they need wide receivers. We know that. Second wide receiver gone in the first round, Arizona State's N'Keal Harry, who obviously had to be of some interest to the Bills, goes to the Patriots. So the Bills did not trade up, and they wind up with the one pick, a pretty good one, and Oliver. We'll break that down tomorrow on the show. We're on the air at 10 a.m. tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with an extended version of our normal show, One Bills Live, from right here in One Bills Drive. Steve, great job. Really
yeah,
good
it
job.
Yeah, it was a long day, but it was really well worth it. I thought the everything kind of fell in a favorable way for the Bills. They got that top 10 pick. And they got a really good guy with it. We didn't know who was going to be there. We knew a good player was, but it was the best of both worlds, I think, for the Buffalo Bills.
Thanks to our great crew, our normal crew here on the weekdays, George Blast, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, J.J. Tirito, Kevin Karchus, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. And at Entercom, at WGR, on the board tonight, Joe DiBiase, Derek Kramer, and Kyle Power. Steve and I back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Join us then as we pick up where we left off. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive tomorrow morning at 10.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.